So today the scripture has also changed. Now the one I'm going to be reading will be Luke 13, verse 24 and 25. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from."
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's nice to be back after a while, right? We're going to a little family trip to the Dominican Republic to visit my family there. It's always nice going back and visiting. And I got to see my grandma, which is really nice to me because it's thanks to her that I'm standing here to you today speaking God's word to you. By the way, I'll take blame on changing everything in the bulletin. Long story short, I wanted to be in Red Bull Cup meeting next weekend, so I asked Kevin to trade. So we traded Sabbath, and I'm going to preach today, he's going to preach next Sabbath. Save the bulletin, right? So all the information is right there. So we all like easy things or fast things. In fact, today we live in the time of fast food, and everywhere we go, everything we do, we like things to be fast. We like things to be easy. In our most recent trip, we got the TSA pre-ticket, and we thought, oh, this is really good. Now we don't have to do that weird stuff and take our shoes off and our belt and go through security. Now we can go through the fast line. We got there and they said, no, we don't have that in this particular area. And we were so disappointed because we couldn't use our fast TSA pre in the airport that we always want to use. And it was sad because we like to have easy access to things. But when we talk about heaven, can we have easy access to heaven? And then here's a question. Is it easy to go to heaven? Raise your hand if you think it's easy. Yes. The other question. Is it hard to get to heaven? Raise your hand if you think it's hard. I think the church is confused. Well, that's a good thing because today we're going to study God's word, and we're going to determine if it's easy or if it's hard to go to heaven. Sorry. If we look through the Gospels, through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, we're going to find Jesus presenting in different ways, different perspectives. Matthew presents Jesus as the great teacher. He's teaching and he's preaching about the kingdom. He's presenting the kingdom of God, bringing the kingdom of God into the earth. But Mark then presents Jesus as the man of action and then give emphasis to his miracles and everything he did, and is presenting Jesus as acting with men. Then Luke introduces him as the friend of humanity, the one who's trying to reach out to the sinners, not only to the people of Israel, but trying to reach everyone and bring everyone into the kingdom. And then John presents Jesus as the Son of God. Today's scripture is taken from Luke, and we just said that Luke is trying to present Jesus as being the friend of humanity. And it's important to study the background of the verse that we just had as our scripture. And I don't know if you remember, my very first sermon in this church was from Luke chapter 13. This is like the second part of the sermon, not really, but it's in the same context. What Jesus is teaching here, Jesus is talking about repentance, and he's also talking about judgment, because they were trying to judge who was going to be saved. They were trying to say, okay, I'm better than such and such person, so I'm going to heaven. He is not. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not the case in here. In fact, they probably will go to heaven, and you will stay here. That's what Jesus is trying to teach in here. According to verse 22, if you go with me to Luke chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus is going through the villages and he's teaching. That's what he's doing. He's teaching. Okay, let's read our scripture for today. But let's start in verse 22, and let's go through 22 until 28. Luke chapter 13, 22 says, "And he went through the cities and villages teaching, going to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?' And he said to them, 'Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I do not know you or where you come from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself thrown out. When I read the text, I look back and I think Jesus was kind of hard, because he's kind of giving them their condemnation right there. But then it made me think about Noah when God asked him to build the ark and to go and preach and to ask the people to repent and to come and help him and get in the ark because, you know, the flood was coming. No one listened to him. No one paid attention to the message he was trying to deliver. And then all of a sudden, what happened? The rain came. I mean, before the rain came, they went into the ark. And then the door, what happened with the door? The door shut, and they were knocking. And then it was too late for them to go in because they didn't listen to the message first. There is a story that I want us to look at also. It's in Matthew chapter 19. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. And in there we'll find the story of the rich man. Verse 16. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments of God.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And in this first part of this story, we see the young man, the rich man, who wants to be saved, but he thinks that what he has is better than what he really wants, which is heaven. When the disciples saw this, verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." And we usually read the story and we talk about how it's going to be hard for people who has a lot of possession to enter heaven. But there's something else here too. Verse 24. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Praise the Lord. So it might look hard for us to enter heaven. It might look difficult to go to heaven. From our own point of view, yes. But with God, all things are possible. So if we go back to our scripture, Luke chapter 13, then keeping those two stories, Noah's story and the rich man's story in mind, we're going to make a connection. When we read verse 23 and 24, someone asked him, actually, I forgot that I have the slide. Okay, someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" And he said, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." We have a couple of things to notice here. First, there's a question. There's someone asking. Who's asking? We don't have information about it. We don't know if it was one of the disciples, one of his friends, one of the Pharisees. We don't know who. But someone is asking. Someone was interested in the number of the ones who will be saved. Why was he asking how many? And the question is for us as well. Should we be asking who is going to be saved? Should I be looking at the members of my church, my brothers and sisters, and saying, "Okay, I see this brother is not going on a right way. No, I don't think he's going to be saved. It's going to be really hard for him." And how many in my church will be saved? That's not our job. Our job, as real Christians, and if we're going to ask a question, should be, how can I be saved personally? I don't have to be looking at the rest of the brothers and sisters. We have to look at Jesus, because he's the only one who can save us. So we have someone asking. We don't know who, and we don't know why. But in Jesus' answer, we can tell that he didn't answer the question. Or he didn't say yes or no. He answered it something else. In Jesus' answer, he gives an advice first. He says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. And basically what Jesus is saying is, you want to go to heaven, you have to make every effort. So if I'm telling you, make every effort to enter that door, it means that it's hard. Because I have to struggle, I have to fight I have to keep up with Jesus to enter through that door. You want to go? Yes. You want to enter? Make every effort. And Matthew Henry says, we must fight. It is a hard matter to get to heaven, he says, and a point that will not be gained without a great deal of care of pains. We must fight with God in prayer. We must wrestle as Jacob did. We must fight against sin and Satan. We must fight in every duty of religion. We must fight with our hearts. We have to fight according to Jesus' answer. Are there few who will be saved? You want to go? You fight. But we don't fight alone. We fight with Jesus. Because then, what it looks hard, remember the story from the rich man? Things for men are impossible. But with God, everything is possible. So, is it hard to go to heaven? Yes. Is it easy when you have Jesus on your side? Yes. Do we have Jesus in our side? Is Jesus fighting for us today? Are we holding on to that strong hand and letting him guide us through this hard life of sin while we fight with Satan? That is the answer to the question. Something else, if we read verse 25, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But then he will answer, "I do not know you or where you come from." And then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our street." But he will reply, "I do not know you or where you come from. Away from me, all evil doers. Well, we were down there in the Dominican Republic once. For a couple of times, we had to take cops to get to where we wanted to be. The first time, it was 9, kind of like 10:30 probably, late. And we got in our cab, and it was a white car with a speaker in the back seat. Oh, nice. Let's go. And so the second time was like 8 p.m., and I see a white car, and I open the door, and there's a speaker in the back seat, and I say, "Oh, you took me to my house the other day." And the taxi driver was like, "Really? Did I?" And then a few minutes later, I realized it wasn't the same car. I was like, "Oh, man, I was so sorry that I told him he took me to my house, and it wasn't him." How disappointing it is when you think that you know someone, and then it happens that it's not the person you thought it was. How disappointing it will be when you go and you knock on the door and you knock on the door and knock on the door and Jesus says, "I do not know you. Who are you?" I bet you don't want to be in that group. I don't want to be in that group. I want to be in the group that will be inside already when the door shut. I want to be in the group that will go with, like when Noah was preaching, his sons and his daughters and his wife that went in. I want to be in that group. I want to enter the narrow door now that there's time. Now is the time to enter through that door. There in verse 25, we see when they go and knock at the door, pretending that they know Jesus. Jesus' answer has a message for us. First, when they knock at the door and call, when Jesus answers, he disowns them. He says, "I do not know you." Do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? How's your relationship with Jesus? How would you describe it? Is him your friend? Is him your father? What is Jesus for you? How much time do you spend with him? How often do you talk to him? How often do you let him talk to you? If we have a relationship, a deep relationship with him, yes, we'll know him. And he will know us too. Since before we were born, the Bible says, he knows us. But we must keep praying and studying his word and having a relationship with him. Second, verse 25, he discards them. He said, depart from me. He just don't say, I don't know you. But okay, since I don't know you, let's just sit down here and let's chat and let's talk and let's know each other. No, there's no time for that. If you don't do that now, there won't be time later. Now is the time to get closer to Jesus. Because then he won't know us, and then there won't be time and he'll say, depart from me, you. And then the third thing that Jesus does or says in that verse, that he qualifies them, evildoers. And we might be here sitting at church and thinking that we're good and we're qualified to go to heaven because we do this and we do everything we need to do. But maybe our heart is away from God. And probably what we're doing that we think is good is not good. And on that day, Jesus will call us by our name and call us evildoers. That will be hard. Verse 26 says, then you will say, we ate and drank with you and taught in our streets, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Again, repeating the same expression. They will come to Jesus, and they will try to make contact with him. They will knock on the door. They won't be answered. And when they get an answer, it will be, I do not know you. And verse 28 gives them the condemnation and describes what it says. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself thrown out. And this is a clear reference to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the people who were trying to trick Jesus. So that's why we probably think that the one who asked was a Pharisee. Because in Jesus' answer, it implies that. You will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets that you rejected, that you killed. All those prophets that you didn't receive the message of God from them. You will see them there. But you will see them from far away. You won't be in the kingdom and then you're going to be thrown out. You will try to go in, but you won't be able to. And from far away, you'll see those who you thought wouldn't make it to heaven. And then you'll be out. And so that's why it'll be weeping and gnashing your teeth. Verse 29 says, people will come from east and west, north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Everyone was qualified to enter if they know Jesus. If they have a relationship with him. The door is there. Jesus, it's inviting us to go in. But if that is not enough, we have an invitation that is even better. If we go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus is inviting us first to open the doors of our heart so he can be our companion and our friend in our task, in our homework, of looking for the gate, the door of the kingdom of heaven. Do you want Jesus on your side? I want Jesus on my side. I want to enter the narrow door. And entering the narrow door means that it's going to be hard. There are things that are going to have to say no, that we like, that we love. Probably family that we're going to have to reject, but they won't probably accept what we believe. And it's going to be hard with them. It's going to be hard in our life, because probably things that we want to have, we cannot have them because it's not appropriate. So entering the narrow door and walking through that road of being a Christian won't be easy if we are alone. But if we have Jesus, if we have him on our side, everything will be easy. And I'll go back to Matthew, what he says. For men, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God bless you.
If you all stand with us as we sing our closing song.
Father, we thank you for your love, and we ask you this morning to open the eyes of our heart. We want you to come and help us to be true, real Christians, and help us to walk with you in this life. And we know it's hard, but we also know that with you everything is possible. So we ask for your blessings, we ask for your presence in our lives, that we can be blessed and that we can be closer to you, that we can have a real deep relationship with you, that we can really know you, and that you know us too. Please bless us throughout this Sabbath, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.